Extra time.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Extra Time podcast with myself, Sam Obaseki, and my bro, Zach Jalab. Today, this episode is brought to you by our friends at EA Sports and the EFL, and they have blessed us with time with the hottest striker in the championship right now, one of the best strikers in the world right now. He's absolutely killing it. Scoring a goal to him right now is light work. If you haven't guessed already, it is Ivan Toney. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm good, thank you very much. Yourselves?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, you're on fire at the moment. You're absolutely killing it. It's so impressive. You've just got not guaranteed yet, but you're in the playoffs. How are you feeling about that at the moment?
Yeah, I'm buzzing that it's like, obviously I wanted to get a second spot, but listen, we still got a chance of getting promoted. So we're in playoffs at the moment, so we have a great chance.
And how's lockdown been treating you as well? Because obviously, for some, it's been hard. For myself, it's been very difficult, you know. It can't be outside and that. But for you, you're in the form of your life. Like, how has it affected you?
To be fair, obviously, my bubble, I still got my son. So my son's still around, so it's good that I'm spending lockdown with him. But it gives me more time to focus on football, really, and just be football. Before, but it's like football back home with family than football, so it's good.
Have you got Project Mbappe underway yet?
Ah, yeah, it's already started.
Got all the boots and the cones ready. Yeah, I feel you. Well, we're gonna go through your career. Obviously, you're still very young, to be honest. You're younger than me, and it's a bit mad. But you know, I hear it. You're doing amazing. But you're quite a seasoned striker. You became the youngest player at Northampton to play, and then you went to Newcastle as well. But at that stage in your career, how did a young Ivan Toney feel like getting a move to a Premier League club?
It was crazy. Like, at them times, thinking I've gone to Premier League club, it's hard not to think that you've made it. You're in the Premier League. Like, you can take your foot off the gas. When really, it's just beginning. Like, you know that saying, this is where the hard work starts. Like, yeah, that's what loads of people are saying that to me. But I'm thinking, what do you mean? I'm at Newcastle. I'm in the Premier League. Like, the hard work was back then to get here. Now I can chill. But it's far from that. And that saying comes into perspective when you look back and think, that was actually true. When people were saying that to me, the hard work needed to start then.
When did you think you realised that? At what point, be your age or your career, like a certain club? Or was there just one person? Was there one instant where you were like, wow, this I should have realised?
I think I realised when it was too late, when they weren't really interested in keeping me, when I was thinking of selling me. It was kind of like, only if I did take that on board back then and worked harder and started putting my head down and grafting. But listen, you live and you learn, and you learn from your mistakes.
And you went on loan to quite a few clubs. You were at Barnsley, Shrewsbury, Scunthorpe, Wigan Athletic, and then back to Scunthorpe. Like, for someone that made that move to Newcastle, how was that process? How are you feeling during all of these loan spells?
In a way, it is hard because you're moving all over the place. Like, I'm not near family. I'm on my own. It's hard. Like, it's hard to focus because I'll go training and, like, sometimes it's now I know at Shrewsbury or Wigan. I want to be home, see my family or see my friends or someone close around me. They travel to see me, but sometimes it's like I'll go 2, 3, 4 weeks without seeing them. Because they're working and I'm at football all the time. When I've got away games, this and that. And travelling's not the best when you need time to rest. Like, you don't want to be on the motorway up and down and things like this. So
it was
tough. And being young as well, it is hard. It is very hard.
A lot of footballers say as well that, like, those periods that make or break you, it's like, it's either you realise that this is really for you, or it's you become one of those guys that's like, I don't know if it's going to work. But did you ever really have a say in where you went, or was it the club was just telling you this would be the best option for you at this point in your career?
I think you'd always have a say, kind of thing, but to a certain extent it's more on the club's terms. Like, the club would say, we think this will suit you perfect. This is similar to where you get the best experience, blah, 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 things like this. But obviously it's up to you to say, no, I'm not really feeling that club. I won't feel comfortable there, this and that. Then I'm sure the club can't really force you to go there.
Yeah.
Mm. If you personally don't feel comfortable going there. But yeah, it's one of them ones, like, at the end of the day, you got to look into it and think, right, I'm just going there to do my job, get experience and get back to my parent club and prove that I can do it here.
Mm.
But it's part of the journey, I guess. You know, I look back now and thought, yeah, it's all part of the journey. Whether it went good, whether it went bad, it's made me who I am today and got me where I've got.
No, definitely. And for you, you was definitely the type of player that bagged goals wherever you went. So I guess it was kind of hard for you because you was scoring goals everywhere. So was that kind of unsettling for you? Was there any loan spell that you enjoyed in particular because of how much goals you were scoring? Or was it you always had your mind on just going back to your parent club and proving your point?
I think I was, like you said, every club I've gone to, I'd score goals. But I feel like I felt a bit, it was something about it, I felt a bit more wanted by Scunthorpe. Hence why I went back there. I've been there twice. I feel like something about the club and the fans and like the staff and everyone around it, it made me feel that you wasn't just a lone player that was using you for a bit and you was going back to your parent club. It was like you're part of the family kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was probably the best loan spell. And in terms of playing as well, I felt like I really expressed myself there like when I was on loan. So that's probably up there with one of my best loans, if not the.
Because how important is it for you as a player to kind of have that feeling that this club wants me here, then this club wants me to be here instead of being maybe looked at as maybe like a loan player, we'll put them on loan year after year. How important is it for you to kind of feel that I'm at a club, this is where I am, whether it's for a year or two, but at least I'm here full time. I'm not on loan. They've bought me.
Yeah, that's very key. That is key because. Like I said, you don't want to feel like he's on loan, he will go back soon, hopefully he'll get us up, then he can just go elsewhere. Whereas Scunthorpe was like, we really want to do well, not just for us, for himself, so he can progress in his career. And I felt like that was the case at Scunthorpe. I'm not saying that other loans I went on wasn't like that, but I felt like it was that extra
bit
that Scunthorpe had done for myself personally as well, to make me improve as a player and in my career. But that's key to feel wanted by a club, because that's where if you feel wanted, you want to pay back their faith they have in you, do well on the pitch. So that's key as a player, and I'm sure other players will look into that and look and feel like if they're wanted, they're gonna want to help that team massively.
No, definitely. And then you had your 3 years on loan, and then you went to Peterborough, and like at that point, because you'd been on so many loans, how was that feeling, you know, having a team that actually said, you know what, we're going to take a punt and we're going to trust you to be our main man?
Well, when I actually first went there, they said they're trying to get me on loan before then sign me permanent before. So that was kind of a boost in itself.
Okay.
So then when I actually went there, it was like, all right, they wanted me from back then. So it must show that they've got real interest in having me at the club. And when I went there, it paid off. They showed that they really wanted me there. Obviously, it was understandable. When I first went, I didn't really get a look in because the strikers in front of me were on fire. Like, they'd been scoring and assisting. So fair enough. I was had to wait for my time. When my chance come, then just take it. And I did that. And when I got into the team, I was scoring goals and I scored a fair amount.
Yeah, you scored a lot of goals. I know you were trying to hide that smile there. Because you know you bagged a lot of goals. This can't be, can be comfortable, you know.
You got 49 goals for Peterborough. And the fans, they made the chart for you and you asked them to change it. Why was that?
It was a bit inappropriate. And to say, I did have like family and friends and little ones coming to the game and like... The chant that it was, obviously, it was a bit inappropriate. And then when my family actually heard it for the first time, like my mum heard it and then she was looking into it thinking, for those that know the song would know what I'm about to say, and like, pull it together. My mum was thinking, have you sent a picture out? Have you sent a picture somewhere? What's going on? Like, my missus was like, thinking with my mum, was like, oh, have you done something? What's going on? It's actually just not like that. Like, not like that.
It's just fans being creative. It's the fans, it's not me. I swear down.
Yeah, I'm sure she knows if it's true or not. I don't know.
What's it like as a player then, having like such we'll say committed fans, people that obviously adore you and love you, obviously it helps when you're scoring lots of goals. But as a player, I've always wondered this, does it affect you when you hear, you know, thousands of people screaming your name? Obviously, I know at Brentford's been a little bit different with the way COVID's been in that, but at Peterborough, was it like a good boost for you?
Yeah, fans obviously make a massive part. They make football. Like, you look at some teams and you'd be like, oh, they're not the best, but the fans push them that extra little bit to make them that team that's hard to beat. And at Peterborough, it was like that. When they're singing behind the boys, it's that 12th man feeling, and that's actually true, because you get that 12th man and that little bit of energy to close the keeper down or make the header or things like that. The fans actually give you that bit to do a bit better. So it is key to have fans, and I can't wait to get them back in the stadiums.
In the new stadium as well. You then made, obviously, from Peterborough to Brentford, a record-breaking move. Did you have any pressure when you made that move? Did you put any pressure on yourself? Or in general, you're not really a player that puts a lot of pressure on you? I mean, because also Watkins had moved to the Premier League. He had a good season the season before. Obviously, whatever you did do has paid off. But did you put pressure on yourself?
Not really, no. It's hard to say because I did and I didn't. Because I believed in myself that I could score goals, whether it was in League One or the Championship. Obviously, everyone's going to read certain comments that like fans say or people say. Like, I'd read a few and I'd actually start questioning, thinking, are the centre-backs are like this? Like, are they much better? Like, are they this and that? But I don't watch that too tough. I don't watch what other people like. I know what I'm like. I know what I'm capable of. So if I just do what I can do, then it doesn't matter what centre-back I'm up against. I'm going to score goals. And you look at the strikers before me at Brentford, they've all scored goals. So it's not just them being able to score goals, it's the team as well.
Yeah.
And the players around you, you're going to get more chances, more opportunities and things like this. And my record speaks for itself. It's not just myself, it's the players around me, and it's a team game, and I couldn't have been scoring the goals I'm scoring without my teammates. So
definitely.
I'll share it with them.
Definitely. I was going to say, like, for a player like you that came into Brentford, obviously, there were a lot of teams, I'm guessing, that were speaking to you before you moved there. But what was it about Brentford that made you like pick them? Was it when you're going into a new club, do you search up the manager? Do you search up the teammates, see if they've got good bands, if they've got good music style? Like, what's the process with that?
Before I moved to Peterborough, it was a case of what quality do they have around the striker, like feeding them. What's the history of the strikers at the club? And if you know Peterborough, their strikers they've had over the years, they've all scored goals and moved on. If the team haven't been promoted or whatnot. And that was a case when we didn't get promoted and they moved me on. The same with Brentford. I think they have the same style, as in the strikers score goals, do well for the club. If they don't get them up and the time's right, they move them on. So I feel like that kind of pathway was similar to mine, how I'm looking down. And obviously I want to get promoted with Brentford. I want to be playing the Premier League with Brentford, and that's the aim. But I'm sure if the time's right and they decide to move me on and consider that I'm ready for the Premier League, then I'm sure the time will be right when it's ready.
Well, I mean, your numbers, you've mentioned them. I'm going to quickly say them here. 30 goals and 10 assists. To be quite frank, that's ridiculous. That's insane. I'm sure. How many times have you been thinking about doing a celebration every single time? I mean, you must have like put down every celebration planned before the season.
What's it like? Obviously, knowing that you're
the hottest striker in the Championship right now, even the hottest striker in the world in terms of goals. What's it like knowing that? And does that drive you on? Do you want to like improve and get better and better?
Yeah, and I always look back at chances I've missed and think, if I scored that, I would have been on 31. If I scored that, I would have been on 32. Mm. And
oh, wow. So yeah, it's like always in your head thinking, yeah, like, it could have been better, could have been better, could have, even though it's so good already.
Always, always. I always want to go that extra yard. Like, the beginning of the season, I had a beast. I was missing one-on-ones, and I've missed a few one-on-ones recently. I'm thinking, if I'd put them away in the ones at the beginning of the season, I'd easily be on like 37, 38 goals. Yeah. There's half chances. I think I could have done better with that. I could have got an extra one there. Like, but listen, sometimes you can't be greedy and be happy with 30 goals at the moment. So.
Yeah, of course.
That is a lot of goals. And I was going to say, because I saw something at the interview you did at the beginning of the season where you said you set out targets for how many goals you get mid-season and at the end of the season. You got to be honest with us now, yeah? Did you expect to bag 30 goals?
No, but
I expect that.
Honestly, I like the honesty. The honesty is brilliant.
I didn't expect that, but a part of me was thinking, why can't I score that? Like,
yeah,
you're going to get at least a chance or half a chance a game. It's up to you to make it to a full chance to put it in the back of the net. So if you take a chance every game, then that's going to take you on to what? 46 goals.
Yeah,
but sometimes it don't work out like that. And yeah, like I said, you can't be greedy.
Well, because I also read before that obviously Brentford are one of the first teams that really took like stats into their kind of into their player acquisition, but also in general when looking at players. I was wondering, does the club ever like tell you about your statistics, and do you take them into note at all, or is that just something as a player it's more of a natural feeling for how you can improve, or does say the manager or the coaching staff be like,
you've missed 0.something goals.
Yeah,
this
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't tell me nothing. I scored 30 goals. they actually done that when I first signed. They brought loads of information on how I play, the chance that I get and things like this. And the detail was actually crazy compared to the other clubs I'd been speaking to during the transfer. So, and that goes back to another reason why I come to the club, because that shows that they really wanted me and looked deep into my style of play.
Mm.
And they'd been trying to get me for, I think, a year before. And like 6 months later, then they finally got me. So it shows when you're wanted by a club, you have to pay them back. And I'm repaying them at the moment.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing is, yeah, when I see stories like that, yeah, it's proper inspiring, man. Like going to a club, you know, gone to multiple clubs in the Championship and other divisions, and then finding your club and fully settling in. But for me, I always wonder when do you like come out of your shell? Is that something that happens after you score the first goal, or is it something that you try and do when you get into pre-season? You try and speak to everyone, make sure everyone knows your name, knows what you don't like, so don't even come, like, before the game, don't come check me because I'm in my zone.
Now, I think it comes down to personality. Like with me, I'm loud and bubbly. Like I can miss 10 one-on-ones, I'll still be the same person. I could score 30 goals, I'll still be the same person. Like it doesn't change me. So I'm just like that guy. But if I'm happy around the changing room and around the training ground, it's going to make someone else happy and someone else smile. So, and it'll reflect into the way we play. So I'm just a happy person all around. If I can help others, I'll help others. If I can give someone else a goal and square it to someone, I'll do that, regardless of being on 30 goals or one goal. So that's just me as a person. I'm just being able to help others and just being a happy character around the training ground.
Now,
good energy.
Yeah, yeah. But this season, you've been in FIFA for a few years now. But this year is definitely your highest rating, being in the team of the season and coming out with a level 90. Do you think that's a fair representation on your season this campaign?
I think my pace needs to go a bit higher, though. I think a few people will get on to me about the pace.
I mean, it's already 95. So what, you thinking like 97?
I'd go 99, to be honest.
99, fair play. Okay, I mean, your shooting's 92.
You happy with your shooting?
That's not bad. I think the free kicks need to go up, though.
we'll put a word in. We'll put a word in, see what we can do. I mean, you've got 56 defending and 80 passing. They're more on the lower end of it. Your passing's probably got to be a bit higher than that, innit?
It has to be higher than that.
10 assists, sure, come on, man. It's got to be higher.
Indeed, yeah, 10 assists. 93 physical, though. They're rating your gym work.
Yeah. That's the gym department help.
I mean, this brings me on to a question that I always find so interesting. Is it weird playing with yourself on FIFA? Because obviously, I don't know if you grew up playing FIFA at all, but I assume you did. Is it weird now, like, having yourself up front in your own team?
Yeah, it is strange. Like, I do it sometimes when I'm trying to wind my boys up. Like, I'll just get into their heads. Like, I'm going to score myself in a second. You just get angry. They're like, no. And when I do, they just end up switching the TV off or something.
I'm sore losers there.
Yeah.
I can't lie. I do the same. I'm one of the biggest sore losers when it comes to for football and gaming in general. Jesus. Yeah.
Sam's been there a few times.
I think I've gone through about 6-7 pads. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, lockdown. I'm sure you, especially at the beginning, you must have played a lot of FIFA.
I played a lot of FIFA until my son decided to turn it off when I was in a big game at one
time.
And after that, I think I just lost my head.
That's one of the worst ones.
Project Mbappe was then put on pause.
He's turned it off and just stared at me like he'd done something good and just wanted to smile. No way.
Bless him. Oh, bless him. Little does he know. He'll know in a few years, he'll realise what he did.
And, yeah, I'll do it to him in a few years.
I mean, because as we said, your season's been unreal. 30 goals, 10 assists. If you had to save for next season, are you aiming to kind of, obviously you're always wanting to do better, but what would you say next season for yourself would you want to improve on? Is there like certain things that you look at your game where you're like, my one-on-one finishing, I want to do better. Heading, I want to get better at. Is there anything specifically for you?
I think as a striker, you very rarely come against, like, you come up one-on-one against someone, unless it's the keeper, really. So I'd say just be more clinical.
Okay.
Like, I see, like, you see the top strikers, like, Aguero or Harry Kane in front of goal, you know, 9 times out of 10 it's going to be a goal.
Yeah.
I think I'm not close to that, but I feel like I'm going in the right direction, and I feel like if I add that to my game, I'm being clinical, knowing if I'm 1-on-1 it's going in the back of the net, then I think I got a good chance, and I give myself a great chance, really.
Let's go, sir.
No, I was just going to say, like, how do you deal with the pressure of, obviously, you've always got eyes on you because you're bagging goals and you've always been like hot property, yeah.
But for see, when he does them little smirks, because you don't want to start smiling.
I respect it.
No, but I was just gonna say, like, obviously there's gonna be people putting you with other teams or saying, what's gonna happen next season, and there's always gonna be rumours around what's next for you. How do you deal with that when you're playing and, like, when you're trying to get in? Because it's an important period of the season now, and I guess it must be difficult to kind of silence all of those rumours.
I think it's more like when I was at Peterborough, there was rumours of me going here, there and everywhere, but I'm still a Peterborough player, so it doesn't matter who I've been linked with, I'm still a Peterborough player, and I've got to do my best for Peterborough. So it's that... little man.
Oh, bless him, bless him. That's sick.
Baby, what are you doing?
Oh, that's adorable. Here he is.
Yes, little man.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, yes, that's adorable. Bless him.
Gonna give Daddy 10 minutes and Daddy can play with you, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Right. Oh, what a legend.
What a legend. That's adorable. Bless there him. Is. The start of the show, some would say.
Yeah. As I was saying, yeah, like, we're being linked to here, there and everywhere. It doesn't really matter. Like, being at Brentford now, obviously you say I'll be linked with this team, that team, this team, but I'm still a Brentford player. I'm still under contract with Brentford. So I have to do my best for Brentford and make sure I'm focused and just ignore everything going on, because it's not going to change nothing.
Well, you've got the playoffs now. I don't know personally, because obviously it's not happened just yet. So once this happens, do you have any preparations to get ready for the playoffs? Are you thinking of like trying to clear out a certain week for your schedule to make sure, you know, get the holidays aren't being planned just yet? We gotta get things sorted. I guess extra training sessions. Is there anything like that that you guys are planning at the moment?
I think it's just, well, we've been doing well this season, so I think it's just the same. Like, nothing's, don't change winning formula. Just keep it the same and keep doing what we've been doing. So once we go into the playoffs, hopefully we do well. We go game at a time. Obviously, you know, it's kind of like a lottery. Everyone, whoever's up for it on the day, we'll win. But we're giving ourselves a good chance. Obviously, we want to finish the season strong. And I think we'll take it like day by day and going into the playoffs.
That's brilliant to hear. I mean, because of your ridiculous form, 30 goals, we've already said, there have been rumours about international call-ups to the England team. For you, what's it like hearing that? Because, not of course, everyone won. When you're a kid in England, everyone wants to play at Wembley. Everyone wants to play in the Premier League or become a professional and play for their country. What's it like hearing those rumours?
Yeah, it's crazy to even hear my name be involved in international, and I just would never have thought it. But I guess that's what happens when you start to score goals. Like, your name gets linked here,
literally,
there,
everywhere. Literally.
But yeah, I'm honoured to be, even my name be ringing like that. So it's interesting to see what the future holds and see what happens.
You're also eligible for Jamaica. They're trying to, you know, rally the troops together. Is it? I always wonder, because obviously I'm from Nigeria as well, yeah. So I've got like two, born in England, parents from Nigeria. People ask me, if you were in the hotspot, who would you play for? And I'm like, on different days, I pick different teams, innit. So I'm always wondering for players like yourself, how what is the process with that? Is it something where your family are telling you, come on, like, you got to do this for us? And then on the other side, your boys are saying, come on, man, come play with the man.
You know what it is? It's kind of like, we haven't really gone deep into discussion on it with me and my family. We're going to try to finish the season strong, do the playoffs and do the final. But from there, I think we'll have a good discussion. It's kind of 50-50. I'll be with me. I think it'll be more my decision than them trying to tell me to play for these or these. So it'll be like a equal balance.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough. My dad's Algerian, so I've had the same conversations if it ever happened. But sadly, it did not. Now, I think we can move on to a subject that you're very outspoken about, and it's really good to see, because unfortunately you've been subject to racial abuse online, and you've spoken about it quite openly about how it makes you feel. We've just had a weekend where players, the Premier League, social media, Sky Sports, BT Sport, you know, social channels like ourselves all decided to join in as well and not post anything for the 3 days. Do you think this has actually done something, or do you think this is the beginning of something?
The silencing for a few days. I've a different look on it. I feel like, why are we coming away from social media when we're not the ones giving the abuse? It kind of makes us not being able to use our voice in a certain way. I see it personally. I don't know how anyone else sees it. Obviously, different opinions, different things. But I see it as in, like, why are we coming away? Like, well, we've done nothing wrong. And during the time, I actually got another message, which is more racist abuse. And even in the name itself was racist. Yeah. And even for Instagram to even verify and let that come on the Instagram and someone create an account, surely you can see from the name that it's racist. Like, why am I going to let this be an account? And Instagram let it be an account. So it shows how crazy things are and the things going on. But it's just, we can do this, we can do that, we can do everything, but the people in charge high up, I keep saying it and it gets boring me saying it, people high up, if they want to change it, they will change it. They clearly don't see it that important. It's brutally honest, they don't deem it as to be as that number one. But there's not much more we can do. If they want to change it, I'll change it at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, Patrick Bamford made a fantastic point, right, about how when the European Super League was being discussed, it was over in less than a week, right? But however, when we have these issues of racism, not only, you know, at stadiums sometimes, but more recently, the bigger picture is online, it's continued to hear nothing from the guys at the top, the social media companies, your Twitters, your Instagrams, your Facebooks. What do you think can be done by them? Obviously, as you said, that account there should not be able to happen. That shouldn't be able to happen. There, it's not hard to put a filter on your own website. But is there anything else that you think could happen, or do you think realistically, aren't even the people that should be making up the rules?
Yeah, they make it. It's not
our job.
Yeah, they're making it seem like a lot of us have to do it. But it's, at the end of the day, I think
when players like yourself are speaking up about it, one thing that I've always like that's just frustrating is the fact that you have to constantly speak about it for it to be a conversation. If you stop talking about it, then it's just like, oh, they don't worry about it. And it's just like, that shouldn't be the case. Like, that shouldn't be what these players have to go through. And I don't feel like they really understand what players like. You're probably strong mind and strong-willed, so it won't really affect you to that certain extent. You're still bagging goals, the team's still doing well. But for players that don't necessarily have the luxury of a big support system or in that position, it could affect them a lot more.
And it's not even just that. Like you said there, like it does affect me, but it doesn't affect me. It does affect me in a sense of, like, is this guy person okay? Like, what are you doing? And then it doesn't affect me because it's like you're behind a keyboard doing all this. Do it in person, then you probably won't. It's a different story. And the fact is that my family see it. Like when it happened before, my family see it. And my mum's only son to be receiving this abuse, like I don't even tell her about it. She just reads on it. She'll see it on Sky Sports and things like this, and she'll be upset about it. So that's what hurts me more than actually receiving the things.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to be seeing these things, it hurts me, them being hurt about the situation. But I keep trying to drill into them that it's some low life people that are doing these things. And I feel like you said, you go back to Patrick Bamford there when he said about the Super League, like when it's hurt in people's pockets, they want to speak up about it.
So energy's different.
Maybe do something about, I don't know, in terms of money wise, the wherever the races, the accounts come from or where they're linked to or things like this, or lose money. I don't know. Something down them lines, because that's when people start talking and start opening their eyes when their pockets are getting hit.
It's so bad. I mean, as we mentioned, like it shouldn't be yourself. It shouldn't be us or people that are, you know, reporting it. The guys are having to come up with solutions to stop this happening. If it's the companies like Instagram, it's your own app. They're the ones that need to take charge of this. And realistically, as you said, like personally, your opinion is that the blackout was taking away your own voice rather than actually probably taking away the voices of the people that were doing it in the first place. And it really does come down to the social media companies to do something about this. There's only so many times we can keep seeing the same copy and pasted message saying we're trying to crack down on this.
I was going to say that's one of the problems. Like, that's why there's so many different sides to this argument now, is because at the beginning, everyone's on the same page and they want to do the same things together. They want to come together. They want to kneel. And then suddenly it's months after and there's not much has been done. So some players are thinking, what's actually happening now? Because you're turning a gesture into, like, you're basically making a gesture the answer, but that's where it was supposed to start. That's why I understand why some people are saying that this blackout isn't going to achieve anything, because we've seen gestures in the past and it hasn't done anything. But it's hard because I don't necessarily think that we as a collective football community have the direct answer. But like you guys said, it's not down to us to have the answer. All we're supposed to do is say, this is what's happening, solve it.
Like, you're literally the company,
now do what you're supposed to do. And they just don't have that energy. So it's a weird one, man.
To be brutally honest, they're not bothered. That's what it is. Mm. They're not bothered. And it's hard to hear, but that's what it is. And they don't care. They're not bothered.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good way to maybe end this. It's quite a hard hitting way. And hopefully, you know, touch wood, all of that kind of stuff. But hopefully over the coming months, we will actually start to see some progression and some change happen. And you know what? I'm more than certain as well. At the forefront of it will be yourself, Ivan Toney, because you've been so brilliant as well throughout it over the months and the years being outspoken about it. But I thank you so much for taking some time with us and talking about all this stuff. And we wish you the best of luck.
Make sure you carry on bagging goals. Make sure you carry on bagging goals. We want to see that, you know, 40s, you know, those missed chances, you get that to 40. You know, maybe do a little celebration or something. I don't know.
Still got a few games left as well. You still got a few games left.
Yeah, I'll try my best. I'll see what I can cook up. I'll see what I can do.
love that.
Perfect. But again, thank you so much. Thank you to EA Sports and the EFL for your time. And as we said, we wish you the best in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.